Let's go to the word of the Lord, Luke chapter 14, verse 31 and 32. Now, y'all know I don't get out on a limb very often, but I don't feel like I'm out on a limb when I speak the words of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. His word will not return how? Void. It's not going to come back empty. Luke 14 and 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and counseleth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else while the other is yet a great way off. Say that with me. Yet a great way off. He sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. Now, that phrase, yet a great way off, was used in one other place in the entire Bible, and it's one chapter later, Luke 15 and 20. And he arose. Wonder who that is. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I want to talk about yet a great way off this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your power that we talk about this morning. Hallelujah. But to talk about it is one thing. To demonstrate it is another thing. Hallelujah. We don't want to come with enticing words of men's wisdom and be empty. But Lord, we need the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That men might believe and know that there is a healer in the house today. Hallelujah. Let your wondrous acts begin to be manifested among your people this morning. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. You may be seated. There are these two places in the Bible where this phrase is used, yet a great way off. And it's right here. We've read them to you this morning. And the first thing I want you to learn in my little sermonette, if you will, that I want to teach you this morning, is that great decisions are always made yet a great way off. Great decisions are made long in advance of having to be forced to make a decision. When a person is forced to make a decision in the crisis, they normally bend to the crisis to make the decision. Okay, I give up. Okay. And they bend to the way of the crisis rather than making the decision to stand or whatever it is, yet a great way off. And so Samson couldn't be here this morning, but he wanted me to tell you something, so I wrote it down. He said, if you're waiting for your Delilah to say, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, you have waited too late. You have waited too late. You have probably waited too late, because now when Delilah tells you the Philistines are upon you, you have to wake up. I don't know how quick you wake up. I wake up pretty quick, but some people got to have two or three cups of coffee before they can wake up. And I wake up. But he wakes up. He's got to shake himself and, I got to find something to fight with. And you got to do all these things because you have no plan in place. The crisis is upon you. And he wakes up and he shakes himself. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Mightily, the Bible says. And it looked like this was working. It looks like this is working. I'll do it again. You know, the worst thing that can ever happen to any of you is to make a bad decision that works two or three times in a row. Because then you begin to think you're invincible. And it won't get me. I got this figured out. And so Samson could have made a great decision, but he waited until the crisis to make his decision. He should have listened to his father and mother. He should have sat down and took their counsel, because he said, hey, I have found me a woman in Timnath, one of the Philistines. And they said, oh, my son, but can't you find one among our people that pleases you? Oh, no, she pleases me. She pleases me. And the counsel of wisdom said, before you get there, before you put your lips on her lips, You better know what you're kissing. Before you get there, you better know what you're getting. Great decisions are made a great way off. Because by the time they're together, it's over. And she was there to do nothing but afflict him. I hate to tell you, but my brothers and sisters, so many times you can make the same decision you was going to make, but you didn't make it till the time of the crisis, and it won't have the same effect as making it when you're a great way off. By the time you say, man, I don't want to mess with this Philistine woman, it's too late. It's too late. So in our first scripture here, I'm going to teach you this morning. This is good. In our first scripture, we find this king. And he is going, in our text it said he's going to make war. This is a little king. And he's going to make war, start some trouble. He's going to go against another king. When you first read this, you want to think, well, the big king's coming against me. But that's not what it says. It says the little king is going to make war against another king. The king that has 10,000 is going to make war against the one that has 20,000. Now, why would a small king make war against a big king? I'll tell you why. Because he's going to conquer us one day. We better figure out, because see, kings in those days, they wanted every city. They wanted their kingdom to grow. And here I am, a little old king over here, and I got 10,000 men. He's got 20,000 men. I'm next in line. I got to figure out how to preserve my kingdom. So maybe I can take him before he takes me. And anytime you're going to engage in battle, you better know how big the enemy is. It's like Boudreaux and Thibodeau. They're on one side of the bayou. And Clarence on the other side, casting over on Boudreaux's side of the bayou. He said, hey, Clarence, quit fishing on my side of the bayou. And Boudreaux said, you told him, Tib. Yeah. Cast on his side. He said, I'll cast on your side if I won't cast on your side. Tib told Boudreaux, I'll go over there and I'll give him what for. He said, yeah, you go ahead and do that. He said, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to whip you. He said, come on. He said, okay, I'm going to walk around. I'll walk around that bridge, and I'll be right back. Thibodeau, you just stand here. What, I'm going to tear him up. And there's old Boudreaux. He's waiting for Thibodeau. He's looking. He's gone. I don't see him. After a while, here he comes back. He said, well, Thibodeau, I didn't see you go over there and do nothing to him. He said, Lord, when I got ready to cross that bridge, it said Clarence was 9'2". He didn't look that big from over here. You better know how big Clarence is. I'll catch it, some of you later. You know, bridge has Clarence on it. Okay, it's too deep. Boudreaux's are deep, you know. You better know how big it is before you say, I'm going to whip you. This king has said, now, wait a minute. He's going to conquer me, so I'm going to conquer him. But Lord, I only got 10,000 men. He got 20,000 men. And I'm going to make war? I'm going to start trouble? He was underpowered compared to the other king. And what you have to do is sit down first. Don't get your weapons out and say, come on, boy, let's go get them. No, sit down. And like my daddy was saying, shut up. Sit down and shut up and think. And so he said, let's sit down first. And you know, your mind always works better if you'll just shut up. People that run in their mouth don't think. That guy who don't say anything, he's a thinker. Don't never fool yourself. People that aren't running their mouths are thinkers. The people that run their mouth, you know what they think. Sit down And think about it before you open your mouth. Think about the benefit. Think about the consequences. Think about the tragedy. How's it going to affect? I'm telling you, great decisions are made a great way off. Then after he sits down, the Bible says that he consults. He consults. I ain't do this thing by myself. What do you think? What do you think? How do you see it? Well, are we in harmony? Can we do this thing or not? And he consults with others to see if he be able with 10,000 to come against him that has 20,000. And after all the sitting and the counseling and all of this kind of stuff, then I can make a decision. And too many times, I've done too much marriage counseling after the marriage. You didn't understand me. I've done too much marriage counseling after the marriage. When it was a great way off. Now, can I talk just a minute? I'm not going to try to offend nobody. I understand that. But I just want to help somebody. Sometimes you got to offend people to help other people. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. But if you want to know something about somebody else before you get hitched, call somebody. I can't tell you how many times I've been in marriage counseling and they say, I should have talked to that girl he left. I should have called that. Because all these phone calls are going to come later. I said, man, I could have told you that. Right? But we don't do that. Most people don't do that. Because she pleases me. He pleases me. And they don't make great decisions a great way off. They wait until the crisis is there. Counsel me. And again, I'm not trying to hurt anybody that's made those mistakes. I'm trying to help somebody or anybody else. In any decision you make that has long-term consequences, a king against a king, I can be devastated with this if I don't make the right decision and lose my kingdom. Look at what all it's going to affect if I make a bad choice here. And I only have 10,000 men. And I realize that people can change. I realize that. But let me tell you something. You won't change them. It won't be you that changes people. Only God changes people. Now, this king is consulting. He decides whether or not with 10,000 men, he's able to meet that with 20,000 men. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist this morning to sit down and figure it's 2-1. It's two. Every one I got, he has two. And I am way undersized. I'm way underpowered. And he's mightier than I. Surely 20,000 men is mightier than 10,000 men. So the little king's got to sit down and got to think this thing through while it's yet a great way off. So the question is, can I conquer him before he conquers me? That's the question. Can I conquer him before he conquers me? And let me tell you, they're making this decision with the enemy not knowing they're making this decision. He sits down and he says, let me see if I can do this. Okay. Well, it doesn't look like I can do it. 10,000 men's not enough. I'm afraid that if they're going to conquer us. So rather than making war, how about let's make peace? Rather than making war, let's make peace. So he says, I can send out an ambassador before we get in battle. It's kind of hard when the battle starts to reconcile things. It's kind of, but if I can send out an ambassador ahead and let him go in there and say, hey, y'all, can't we get along? You know, let's be friends. Let's be pals. And you do that while the enemy is yet a great way off. I remember, and you probably remember too, that Joshua was conquered Jericho, conquered Ai, and then next in line was the city of Gibeon. Jirjat-Jearim was the name of that little city. And the inhabitants of Jirjat-Jearim, or Gibeon, said, ooh, we're next in line. And so he comes to Joshua, a bunch of them do, in old clothes, with old bread and worn out shoes. And they say, "We come yet a great way off. We're way over yonder, Joshua. But we just wanted to come in plenty of time to say, let's have peace between us. Because we heard about your God and all of Egypt and all the mighty acts of your God. So could I get you to sign a league?" Now, the Lord told Joshua, don't do that, but he did it anyway. But because he didn't know it was the next city in line, he was convinced it was a great way off. He said, "Man, if they want peace that bad, come in these old shoes and all that, then we'll do it." And he signed the treaty. Why? Because he thought it was a great way off. Only to find out it was the next city in line. I'm here to tell you this morning, great decisions are made a great way off. $10,000 against $20,000. I think I better make peace and not war. So he said, "I will send out an ambassador." Let me read for you. Have you not heard this morning that Christ was God's ambassador? And have you not heard that you are Christ's ambassador? So while judgment still seems, it's closer, but it's a great way off, why don't you get your life right and make a great decision before, as I taught that class this morning, the door is shut? Because once it's shut, my brothers and sisters, it is shut. Watch, Ephesians 2 and 12. "That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were," where? "Far off, were made nigh." How? "By the blood of Christ." He reconciled it. He saw you a great way off. "For he is our peace, who hath made both one." He is that ambassador who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, the Israelites, and you and I, Gentiles, were afar off. But Paul goes on to write in another epistle, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye at peace with your God." Don't wait until it's too late to make peace. While it yet seems to be a great way off, great decisions are made a great way off. Make your decision to live for God, work for God, and be in the kingdom of God. I'm glad that Jesus made peace with God 2,000 years ago, while I was yet a great way off and an enemy of the cross, he made peace for me rather than war. In the second part of our text, we find the story, that old familiar story of the prodigal son. Brother Belshi, I can't go very long before I have to mention, he and I was talking about the prodigal son the other day and how many sermons I've preached on the prodigal son. And every time I read it, I go, "Wow, I never saw that before." So here's a wow. I believe that the prodigal son left home, again, not really because he wanted to leave home, but because he wanted control. He wanted control. He wanted to control his own life. Now, to control your own life, it takes, do everybody know what that means? It takes money. Yeah. And so the daddy gave him what was befallen to him early, before it was time. Now, the Bible says money answers all things. So when you run out of money, you run out of answers. Right? Beggars don't have the answers. Money answers all things. And when he ran out of money, he ran out of answers. And when he ran out of answers, he ran out of control. Right? And now he realizes, because he's taken a journey, the Bible says, into a what kind of country? A far country. He traveled to a far country. He was out of control. And he did all kinds of crazy things. Just think about the 21st century guy and what they do. Okay? And he goes into this far country, and while he is yet a great way off, he sits down. And daddy's house. It's not at the table. He found an old stump, no doubt, somewhere. But I know he sat down. Do you know how I know he sat down? Because it said he arose. He sat down. Just like the king. And then he counseled. He counseled himself. He came to himself. You ever talk to yourself? Self? What are you doing here? Man, I don't know. That's a bad decision. Yeah, it was. I didn't ever think I'd get this low. I never thought this would happen to me. And while he was yet a great way off, he said, you know what? How many hired servants are in my daddy's house and have bread and to spare? And here, I perish with hunger. Now, what he's thinking about, what's a great way off? He said, I will go to my father. He's counseling. I will go arise and go to my father and tell him that I have sinned and no longer against you and against God, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me a hired servant and I'll be happy. Give me sleeping places and... And he arose. And he had to travel back just as far as he went. He had to travel back to get. He made a great decision a great way off. While he was way out there. You don't know how many people got drunk their last time just last night. You don't know how many people shot drugs for the last time last night. And while they were a great way off, they pull that needle out or whatever they do and said, I ain't doing this no more. I'm not doing this no more. I shouldn't have left in the first place. And they made a great decision as they come this morning, a great way off. Daddy is sitting in the house, and he's obviously looking, and he's thinking, and he's praying. I don't know where he's at. I don't know where my son's at. I don't know what he's doing. But God, your arm is not short, and you're not slack concerning your promises. As some men count slackness. But you are just. And Lord, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Your babies may be a long ways off. When you was holding them like this, you thought, rock-a-bye-bay. And now you don't know where they're at. They're a great way off. But you don't know. Because they're having a private conversation with God last night. Little did you know, while you were praying, he was sitting on a stump, maybe on a bar stool. I can't do this no more. I can't do this no more. I'm better than this. My daddy raised me better than this. I'm going back to the house of God. I'm going back to my father's house. And the Bible says that daddy saw him a great way off. You know what? I believe he saw him coming before he saw him coming. You didn't hear me. I think he saw him coming before he saw him coming.
Because
he said, he's coming home. You know why? He was looking. He was looking. So he obviously was believing. Because if you don't believe, you don't look. But if you believe, you keep looking. Was that him? No? Okay. Was that phone call, was that him? Was that him? Okay. That email that I got, is it? Maybe it's him. But I'm looking. And while he saw him, that's him. A great way off. He ran a great way. He had compassion a great way off. Let me tell you, a lot of times you don't want to have compassion until they're dead broke. You don't want to have compassion until it's, and I understand. I know how we can be. But he had compassion while he was yet a great way off. That's what the book says. And while he was yet a great way off, he had compassion. And he ran. And he brought the two together that had been both a great way off. And when he got to him, the father, not the son, the father kissed him on the neck, hugged him, said, son, so I've been waiting. I want him to sing this old song. It's an old song, but it's so true. And I just asked the Lord to send somebody this morning that could relate to this. And you've been a great way off, but I'm tired of sin and straying.
Are you tired?